Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Okay, you ready for this? Here's something I don't mention enough on the show. You can follow our Patreon page for free. The same way you can follow a Substack for free, or a Facebook account for free, or a TikTok account for free. You'll get alerts about new episodes. You can comment under the free episodes and a whole lot more. Just go to patreon.com/BobSeskaShow and follow us. Or you can sign up for our bonus content like the Shadow Docket shows and the Friday After Party. Again, that's patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. And now let the cartoons begin.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska.
People ask me, were you must have been the class clown. And I say, no, I wasn't.
The Bob Seska Show.
From our nation's capital, it is Thursday, April 18, 2024. And this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi there, I'm Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, day 1,185 of the Biden-Harris administration. 201 days until the 24 presidential election. How about that shit? Find me on Threads and Instagram, The Bob Seska, Twitter, BobSeska_go, Patreon, BobSeskaShow.com. And those people right there, it's the Goth Ninja. It is Jody Hamilton from The Stephanie Miller Show. She's the showrunner, Stephanie Miller Show. StephanieMiller.com, Patreon.com/StephanieMillerShow, and SexyLiberal.com for tour dates. Yeah, David Ferguson, his music project is Astral Summer, astralsummer.bandcamp.com, also patreon.com/astralsummer. He's also from Itchy Dick's Bar and Grill. Get your t-shirt and mugs, bobseska.com, under the logo, click the news store link. Thank you for doing that. Okay, Goth Ninjas, I met some Goth Ninja fans on Sunday, specifically fans of David. Yeah, we had a great time. I talked about this on Tuesday, but it bears mentioning again that there was that big book event for That Time We Ate Our Feelings, this amazing cookbook by Debriana Mancini and Lisa Lucas. And so many mooks, so many Steph heads, so many fans of this show turning out. We filled the room. We sold it out. It was a great time. Great time was had by all. And this guy comes up who's my same height, who's also
this huge guy comes up.
Yeah, this enormous guy. I'm like, hey, wait a second. I'm looking at someone eye to eye for a change. And he was wearing a Star Trek Discovery t-shirt. And he comes up and says, hey, Bob, you know, I love your Thursday show. And you've been talking about how the shows have been getting longer and longer and longer. Please keep making them longer. Please keep. So I said, hey, thanks. Thanks for the encouragement. And it turns out he's also, his name was Thomas, he's also a fan of T-Rex, just a gigantic T-Rex fan.
My Thursdays aren't long enough as it is.
I know, I'm sorry, Jody. See, that's the real apology for the length of the shows has to go to Jody, because right now, as we're recording the show, we're at the equivalent of like midnight in your schedule, right? I mean, you're
I've
like,
been up since one, so it's 10 a.m. now. So,
what does that make it? If you're up since one, that would be so you're coming up
it's
on
called about 8 o'clock in the
nine
morning.
9 hours, 3 hour day. It's 9 hours. Yeah.
Oh
so
my
I'm
god.
Done with the day.
Okay. Right.
Is it 1 o'clock yet?
Well, you know, you haven't been falling asleep on the show. That's kind of an amazing thing. Donald Trump, on the other hand, continues to fall asleep. He fell asleep in court again on Tuesday. Buzz and I have a funny story to tell about that on next Tuesday's show. See, we're in the middle of the show.
Why do we have to wait?
I'm just teasing it. Buzz and I are going to give some insider information, some behind-the-scenes information about the making of a podcast. What happened on Tuesday when we were covering one story and then something else happened, but we didn't know it happened. That was there's lots of confusion that happened after the fact, after we finished recording Tuesday's show. Buzz and I swear to God, we will talk about that in detail on Tuesday's show next week. But in the meantime, I don't think Donald Trump's fallen asleep yet today, but he was scolded for using his cell phone like an idiot.
He's like a fifth grader. No, I mean, seriously, this is the thing that I knew. I recognized at the outset this was going to be hell for him because he doesn't do anything all day except run from one source of affirmation to another.
Yeah.
Right? It's like he has a person running around behind him with a battery-operated printer to, like, print off happy things from the internet and show him to make him feel better. I mean, he really is, like, he constantly needs affirmation and he cannot just sit. And he can't pay attention to anything because his brain is toast.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he sits there and literally falls asleep in court because he's got no incoming stimulus. And, you know, it's just like he doesn't know what to do with himself. No one ever tells him, no, you have to sit down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And stay there.
Right.
Like, and so he's basically learning what all of us had to learn in pre-kindergarten when we were four, like how to sit still and keep our mouths shut.
Yeah.
But he can't. He literally has no, like, I mean, if he's not, like, I figure a normal day for him is like running from crowds of admirers at Mar-a-Lago in to watch his favorite shit on Fox News, out to, like, address, you know, do some chopper talk or whatever. And then it's like everybody is, like, constantly fawning and telling him how awesome he is. And, oh, here's a printout from your fucking printer slave who follows you around. I mean, it's just...
Yeah, the only untrue thing you mentioned there, David, was Donald Trump running. I don't think he's ran anywhere.
That doesn't happen.
No, he hasn't run since 1975.
Yeah. The thing I think should happen, if Donald Trump falls asleep again, someone should walk right up to him and yell,
"No!"
And watch him wake up in a complete panic, sit bolt upright, you know, wipe off the drool. What's going on? What is it? So that is the least of Donald Trump's problems, falling asleep in court. I asked Dr. Tracy Pearson yesterday, who's a legal expert, she's up to speed on all this stuff, said, eventually, could Judge Mershon cite him for contempt if he kept falling asleep in court? I don't know. Is that like a thing? Can you be cited for contempt if you are falling asleep every day in court and you are the defendant in that case? Is that disrespectful to the court? I don't know. I don't think so. Tracy didn't seem to believe that that was the case necessarily. So
I would have a terrible time having to just sit there and not do anything.
Yeah.
I mean, I would probably be taking notes.
Yeah.
Are you allowed to do that? Can you
make a pen? Yes, absolutely. Of course, absolutely.
Notes? Yeah.
Yeah. No, you can take. It's part of your defense. Yeah.
To do something like that, you know, but I couldn't just, like, sit there and stare off into space. I love that he had to sit there and listen to people's mean tweets about him like a Jimmy Kimmel sketch.
Right.
You know?
There's so much that I love about this. The one thing that I don't love is the fact that, just as I predicted, Donald Trump got one of his Red Hat Entertainment Complex minion, Jesse Waters, to dox one of the jurors on his show. I think this was Tuesday night. And then Trump shared one of the quotes from Jesse Waters on Truth Central?
Truth Central.
Trothed it out so everyone could see. And as a consequence of this...
Jury tampering.
Yeah, it's absolutely jury tampering. So Jesse Waters claimed they are catching undercover liberal activists lying to the judge. This is in the context of jurors. Now, we back up to earlier in the week when we reported that Clay Travis, whoever that is, and he was tweeting out that Republicans, MAGA supporters of Donald Trump should try to worm their way onto the jury and then vote to acquit, which is also jury tampering. And then he went on.
No, I heard about that guy.
Yeah. And then he went on.
It is your patriotic duty.
Yeah.
To lie to the judge and fuck with the courts. I'm like, I don't think we share a definition of patriotism.
Right. But then as everyone is discussing it and there's the possibility that this guy could be charged with jury tampering, he goes on Fox News and does it again
I mean, this time on television, for God's sake. So as a result of that, now what they've done is, or at least what Jesse Waters is doing, is trying to do an old flip-flop on this. He's trying some projection here by saying, oh, you know what? It's going to be liberal activists who are going to do the same thing, except they're not going to vote to acquit. They're going to vote to convict. So it's now liberals, according to Jesse Waters, who are trying to get onto the jury, which is absolutely not effing happening. So
I have audio of a juror that was interviewed the other day, and she's like, I don't like him. That's why I'm not on the jury.
Yeah. Well, this juror who was dismissed, juror number two, and by the way, we're down to five jurors. There were seven jurors at the end of the day on Tuesday. Two have been dismissed. One was asked to be dismissed, and the other one, I'm not sure exactly why that other juror was dismissed, but it was more innocuous. It was for more innocuous reasons. But so now we're down to five jurors from seven, and this is exactly what Judge Mershon was warning Trump about with regard to the graduation. If you pull shenanigans and we have to delay this process and we fall behind on schedule, then no, you're not going to be able to go to the graduation. If we're doing okay on time, no problem. It was just like a we'll see kind of thing. So under this gag order, the former president is barred from making or directing others to make public statements about any prospective juror or any juror in this criminal proceeding, which that's obviously what Jesse Waters was engaged in. And then the fact that Donald Trump shared it again on Truth Central made it even worse. Okay, so after the juror was excused, Judge Mershon said this: I'm directing that the press simply apply common sense and refrain from writing anything that has to do with physical descriptions. It's just not necessary. It serves no purpose, the judge said. Once again, Judge Mershon, too little too late. It's like expanding the gag order after someone has already threatened, after Donald Trump has already threatened Judge Mershon's daughter on multiple occasions, posted her photograph on Truth Central, basically releasing a dossier out for Donald Trump's red hat minion to use as identifying information. You know, now we know who to intimidate, right? So once again, I think Judge Mershon has to start getting ahead of all of this, instead of reacting after it's already done. So meantime, I think there was a motion by the defense, a motion by Donald Trump's team to ask the media not to report on identifying information about specific jurors. But here's what Jesse Waters said.
Jesse Waters, yeah. I think there's no bones in his, he's like completely made of rubber. You know, it's like his head just looks like he could just like squeeze it and his little eyes would pop out like those little dolls, you know, like I don't know what it is.
I'd love to see that happen, by the way. Can someone squeeze Jesse Waters to see if his eyeballs pop out?
That would be, yeah.
And make sure there's video so I can watch.
Over and over again.
Yes. Here's stress doll Jesse Waters.
A nurse from the Upper East Side with a master's degree. She's not married, has no kids, and lives with her fiancé, who works in finance. She gets her news from the New York Times, Google, and CNN. She said two things that really stuck out. One, quote, I don't really have an opinion of Trump. And, quote, no one is above the law. I'm not so sure about juror number two.
Jesse, there you go.
Okay.
How do you get this information?
From the press, from news sources.
For fuck's sake.
And I think the press shouldn't even be announcing the gender of juror number two or what that person does for a living or what that person's family does. Mm-hmm. It's like that was the identifying stuff about her. And her phone started to blow up by friends and family members going, are you on that jury?
Yeah.
I mean, how is this fucking legal? Like, and this is like specifically like he's like literally painting a bullseye on this woman.
Yeah. And it's not just this particular juror. It's not just juror number two we're talking about here. We're talking about the entire jury pool.
Right.
This is intimidating to anyone, to any prospective juror. Why anyone at this point would want to sit on this jury? See, this is the whole idea. Let's get to the point where we got a mistrial. because we just can't move forward because of fuckery. Either Donald Trump is trying some sort of courtroom shenanigans, talking to jurors as they're there. He had to be scolded for that on Tuesday because he turned to one of the jurors and was talking to them.
And the, muttering, and the judge actually I believe, heard it. Was yeah. the word that the judge used.
Yeah, right. And then jurors don't want to be seated because they're concerned about their personal safety. And I think for good goddamn reason. So this is the strategy, I guess, to disrupt enough so there simply can't be a trial. I don't know. Jesse Waters also said, I think he's been pretty calm for facing 91 charges. Yes, he's very, very calm. He's so calm, he's falling asleep in court.
Mm-hmm. Well, and guilty then, people sleep well.
Yeah, right. And then weirdly, Jesse Waters said, I'm wetting myself if I'm facing one charge. Well, Donald Trump is probably also wetting himself, just to be clear.
Yeah, we just don't.
Yeah, that's, I mean, Noel Kassler kind of pretty much straightened that out.
Yeah, and Hal Sparks thinks there's going to be a lot of sharts in that courtroom.
I agree with Hal.
Yeah, like it's really, it's going to start to piss people off. It happens so often. Donald Trump sharting when he, or either when he's asleep or right when he wakes up. And then Waters continued saying, they're saying, oh, have you ever seen anything on social media about Donald Trump? No, I can't remember. Well, what about this post where you said he should be in prison? Oh, yeah. That one strike and they keep throwing these undercovers at them. And thank God they're doing the research on these people so far. The jury foreman is a guy born in Ireland. And then my other hope is a guy born in Puerto Rico with grandkids. The rest of them are corporate lawyers with dye all over their firms' websites. I don't
dye.
DYE in the transcript here on Mediaite. DYE with dye all over their firms' websites. I don't understand most of this. And you have a 20-year-old white girl who works for Disney and likes to dance. This looks like trouble. I think I hung. This is literally in the transcript. I think I hung jury. That can't be right. That's got to be an AI transcript or something. I think I hung jury. I think a hung jury is the best you're going to get here. That's the plan.
What is wrong with being 20 years old, working for Disney, and liking to dance? I mean, that could apply to anyone from here to the right of Ben Shapiro. I mean, it's like, that was the thing I was thinking about, like, you know, oh, she's got no kids. She lives on the Upper East Side. She's married to a guy who's in finance. I'm like, that could just as easily be a fucking Republican voter.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't understand, like, how it's so sinister that she lives on the Upper East Side, Bob.
Oh, no.
Right. You know? Well, that's just it. If you are a potential juror in Judge Mershon's courtroom, Jesse Waters is going to reveal your identifying information on Fox News Channel. In front of every crazy.
And he should be held in contempt at that point.
Right.
No, he should be in jail right now.
Yeah. I mean, it's jury tampering. It's illegal what he's doing.
My favorite part of the discussion I had yesterday with Dr. Tracy Pearson was when she described what will happen to Donald Trump if he gets thrown in jail for 30 days for contempt, which I think is a very realistic possibility. Dr. Tracy said that he'll go through that whole thing where they have to spray him down and de-louse him.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Oh, and they will investigate every orifice.
Yeah. They'll have to do a body search.
Mm. Yep. They're going to be so surprised when Putin runs out of the crack of his ass.
Actually, I think Donald will run out of Putin's ass. But
Putin's very small.
It is. He's teeny tiny.
He's small.
He's a little teeny tiny guy. It fits right up in there. And Trump will have to be fitted for an orange jumpsuit. Of course, when he goes to court, he'll be allowed to dress in a suit because wearing the jumpsuit will bias the jury a little bit. But he's going to have to go through the whole Shawshank thing. Remember Andy Dufresne when he's first admitted to Shawshank? He has to go, they throw the powder on him and it burns the eyes and all that stuff. Apparently, they still do that. I had no idea.
Ugh. Oh, yeah, they de-louse you when you walk in there.
But I can tell you, it makes me so happy. It makes me the happiest guy in the world to know that. Because ultimately, as long as this jury isn't polluted to the point where they have to declare a mistrial, short of that, I want Donald Trump to continue making things worse for himself. I don't think there's going to be a lot of people going, oh, poor Donald. Poor Donald got thrown in jail. This is so unfair. you know, I don't see anyone on the normal side of the ledger having any sort of sympathy for him. I think it's been clear that Judge Mershon has given Donald Trump all the leash, all the latitude. I mean, we've covered a couple of instances of it already on the show. I mean, today with a warning going out to the media and so forth about mentioning details about jurors, but after it's already too late, after they've dismissed one for that exact reason, and another one for reasons that I don't have sitting here in front of me.
The other one, the guy that was just dismissed, he apparently had been arrested for tearing down political posters, and he did not say that, and so the judge said, you lied. Yeah. You gotta go. Wow. And I think Chris asked, he goes, we know what kind of posters? I'm like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, yeah.
It's irrelevant. He's doing that. He got arrested for it. That's whether he's pro-Trump or anti-Trump, you can't do that. Yeah. First off, lying. You know, he's lucky he's not in jail for perjury.
Well, according to Kyle Griffin, juror number two, she had concerns about her identity becoming public and said friends and family have already inquired about whether she's a juror. The juror added that given those outside influences, she was concerned about her ability to be fair and impartial. There were also reports that she's concerned about her safety. She's already talked to MSNBC. Yeah. And I guess in that regard, maybe there's a little bit of attention seeking going on that she ran out and talked to MSNBC at a time when she's concerned about her identity being made public. But, you know, it's her right to do that. And she's no longer a juror. So I don't know.
Yeah, she's no longer in danger at this point.
Yeah.
She's not on the jury.
Right,
so.
Right. And I think this would put her in favor with the MAGA militias and so forth. All of the activists, the crazy people who would normally retaliate against her. But maybe they see her now as being, okay, well, yeah, she's done the right thing. So we're not going to punish her. Because she's walked away from this, which we hope all the other jurors will do. That's what they're all thinking. But they've got to start applying this gag order to Trump because he's going to keep putting like one foot, one toe over the line and seeing what Judge Mershon will react to. He's just going to test the waters and test the waters and test the waters. No pun intended with Jesse Waters, but you know what I mean? He's going to keep doing this because he's a fucking child. So that's the latest with the jury and what's happening in Judge Mershon's courtroom. And we will bring you additional details if they provided to us, because everything is going on still right now as we speak. Okay, so meantime, the Senate has dismissed the impeachment case against Alejandro Mayorkas. This is fun because Chuck Schumer stood up to these rat bastards and their ridiculous dog and pony show. This is all about just damaging Joe Biden ahead of the election. This is neener, neener payback from the House Republicans trying to punish the
Democrats. I still would have loved Marjorie Taylor Greene being an impeachment manager and trying to do. I mean that. Oh.
I know. I was so looking forward to that because obviously there's no way he would have been convicted. Well, first of all, this would have put the immigration issue front and center. And allowed people like Marjorie Taylor Greene to continue spewing all the myths, but from the floor of the United States Senate.
I know, but she would have been so bad.
Yeah. Well, the Democratic-controlled Senate deemed both impeachment articles unconstitutional because they didn't rise to the level of high crimes and misdemeanors. The trial was then adjourned without any votes to convict or acquit. House Republicans voted to impeach Mayorkas in February on their second try, by a single vote over his handling of the southern border.
Scalise, right? Didn't he come back? And
yeah. He became the first cabinet secretary to be impeached in nearly 150 years. And it was a gigantic joke. And the Senate voted 51-48 that the first article of impeachment against Mayorkas is unconstitutional. Lisa Murkowski voted present. Profile encouraged.
Shake.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they always do. They always go after like a black woman secretary or they're like, and they can't exactly tell you why. They just don't trust the guy, you know, like
right. Right, but this has been the Republican strategy all along. They love their petty vengeance. They love their little cheap payback. The entire thing that happened to Bill Clinton in the 90s was all about the fact that they were counting on George H.W. Bush to be a two-term president. He was riding high after the Gulf War, And what his approval rating was somewhere in the 90, in the upper 90s. I mean, that's unheard of. But that's how the United States rallies around Republican presidents when there's some sort of military action. Doesn't happen with Democrats, but certainly
not since FDR.
No, yeah, certainly not. But in that case, because Bill Clinton won the 92 election, they proceeded to just relentlessly investigate and attack Bill Clinton throughout his two terms, ultimately failing to convict him in the United States Senate for lying about a blowjob while under oath. That was the that was the best they got after years and years
of semantics. It was semantics.
Yeah, exactly right. And so now that Donald Trump had been impeached twice for good goddamn cause, this is all about, you know, saying neener, neener back to the Democrats. Hey, look, we got Mayorkas. Ha, ha, ha.
When I heard that the impeachment hearings had gone, you know, tits up, I for a split second, I really thought it was their the impeachment attempt against President Biden. And yeah. I was like, oh, thank God. And then I realized it was just, no, that's still zombie, you know, limping.
Oh, that's
along.
Dead.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
dead. Moskowitz and Raskin are both like, bring the articles to the floor. Do it. A double dog dare you, you dumb fucks.
Yeah. You want to hear Jamie Raskin handing it to Jim Comer?
Jim Comer. Yeah. It's hard to hear. The video is better, but it is, God, the two of them went at it yesterday.
Yeah, here we go. Here's Jamie Raskin just burning Jim Comer.
Number two, I would like my time restored. And number three,
no,
you have not identified a single crime. Now. Well, what is the crime that you want to impeach Joe Biden for and keep this nonsense going? Well, why? What is the crime? Tell America right now.
You're about to find out.
What is the crime?
You're about to find out.
Name it.
Charity inhabits a propaganda experiment.
Yeah, you're about to find out in 2 weeks.
God, I mean, it's just like fucking my pillow guy being like, I've got more evidence.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to show it to you in just a minute here.
Yeah, it was like Donald Trump. Donald Trump throughout his entire presidency was like, okay, we got a health care plan. It'll be in 2 weeks. We'll give it to you in 2 weeks.
OJ. He's going
to
find the killer. OJ's going to find the killer.
That's right. So just wait. We'll say what the charges are in.
You're about to find out. You're about to find out. And
then, like, oh, man.
Yeah. And then Comer, for some reason, referred to Jamie Raskin as Raskins. And so Jamie Raskin is like, we've been sitting next to each other on this panel for the last year. My last name is Raskin. It isn't Raskins. Why are you saying Raskins? He was just about to say, you stupid motherfucker.
Right. Right. It was like, parenthetical.
That was right at the tip of his tongue. Like, my name is Raskin, you stupid motherfucker. But he didn't say that because he has a little bit of decorum, unlike the Republicans and this ridiculous impeachment nonsense that is effectively dead. It is not going to happen. They're not going to be able to impeach. Well, they already impeached Mayorkas, but they're not going to have a trial in the Senate, and there will be no impeachment of Joe Biden. I think the clincher there was probably Alexander Smirnov and the disinformation, the Russian disinformation that was flooding the House Republicans' inboxes and their teeny tiny chiclet brains. And just like that was the last gasp of that entire process. So anyway, that is that. In a second here, I want to talk about Arizona and the continued fuckery that occurs in the state legislature in Arizona. They just, you know what? This is one of those things where all at once they're making things worse for themselves and they're making things worse for every woman and every doctor in Arizona. Contrary to what Sean Hannity said, hey, look, don't worry about it. In a couple of weeks, they're going to fix this. It's going to be fine. Once again, in a couple of weeks. When they say it's going to happen in a couple of weeks, that means it's never going to happen. Just to be clear about this.
I think they've probably meted it out. Like, that's the exact amount of time it takes the average American to forget what you said.
That's right. Yeah, you know what?
2 weeks.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. I think, I'd like to think it's longer than that, but I actually think it might be shorter than 2 weeks.
I think it may be about 16 minutes, actually.
Yeah.
The expiration tag comes up. It's just like, oh. I can't remember what happened 15 minutes ago. Can't remember what happened 15 minutes ago. Yeah.
More podcasting to come right after these words.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
There is exciting news in Stephanie Miller podcast land, isn't there, Chris? We now offer Stephanie Miller's Happy Hour podcast and the Out of the Gate podcast.
Stephanie Miller's Happy Hour podcast is once a week. It is the best interviews of the week from the Stephanie Miller Show every Friday. Stephanie Miller Out of the Gate is daily. You will get the first segment of every day's Stephanie Miller Show, plus Stephanie Miller's Happy Hour Extra, which is the best interview of each day. So three different podcasts in one feed.
Get it wherever you get your podcasts.
Subscribe on your favorite podcast app.
Bob Seska.
All-time favorites all day long.
Oh, yes. Brand new music from Powder Pink and Sweet. One of my new favorites here on the show is a song called Dreaming of Leaving. Got a link in the description to download this now. Get into your record collection. Do it. They're so good.
Yep. You know where that name comes from?
I don't. Is it a reference to something?
It's a Cure lyric. It's by, you know.
Oh, that's right. You know what? I think you've mentioned that on the show before. Yeah.
Called The Caterpillar.
Oh, okay. Great.
You dust my little line. You know, like Robert Smith with Powder Pink and Sweet.
Oh,
like,
fuck. Crazy. I can't believe I didn't remember that. And it does. You can definitely hear the Cure influence in Powder Pink and Sweet. So, yeah, I hear a little M83 in there, too. It's just wonderful stuff. Please download as much of their music as you can possibly handle, as much as you can store onto your hard drive. Today was one of those shows where I got started with the podcast, and I'm like, you know, like when you walk out of the house sometimes, you go, is there something? There's definitely something I'm forgetting. Like, what did I leave
behind?
You feel
like your underwear is on backwards, basically.
Something like that, exactly. So I feel like, in podcast terms, I started the show with my underwear on backwards. I feel like I left something out because I'm pretty thorough in terms of the list of things that I want to talk about on the show.
Yeah, you actually do it, like, professionally and shit.
That's right.
Yeah, like bullet points.
Yeah, yeah.
And like the rest of us that did it for 15 years. I mean, you're actually like fucking do it right. Like, what the fuck is that?
Today, there's just so much shit going on. I mean, the fire hose of news right now is beyond comprehension. Between what's happening in court right now, what's happening in the campaign, what's happening on abortion rights, what's happening with Joe Biden's campaign, what's happening with the economy. God damn it, Donald Trump confused Jimmy Kimmel and Al Pacino on Troth Central the other day. This is how out to lunch he is. I'm sure this is not going to generate any op-eds in the New York Times or in Axios or Politico. But here's what Donald Trump trothed the other day. Stupid Jimmy Kimmel, who still hasn't recovered from his horrendous performance and big ratings drop as host of the Academy Awards, especially when he showed he suffered from TDS, commonly known as Trump Derangement Syndrome, to the entire world by reading on air my truth about how bad a job he was doing that night, right before he stumbled through announcing the biggest award of all, Picture of the Year. That was all one sentence. Everything I just read right there was one sentence. It was a
I hate him so much. I'm so tired of him. Please make him go away.
Right. And he continues.
Boring.
It was a classic choke, one of the biggest ever in show business. And to top it off, he forgot to say the famous and mandatory line, and the winner is. Instead, he stammered around as he opened the envelope. Supposedly, his wife and even management begged him not to do it. Don't read this truth, Jimmy. Please don't do this, they said in all caps. He was made to look like a fool. Which he is, and at the same time go down in television history as the worst host ever of the once vaunted Academy Awards.
Just like, it's like, talk about diarrhea of the mouth.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just like, he's just like this gush, this torrent of just,
yeah.
I mean, and his fucking imagination is just so warped.
Right.
And just like
it's
the
funny, because ratings were up this year.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great show. Jimmy Kimmel just did just fine. But of course, Donald Trump's got to say that he did a horrible job. In addition to that, the whole picture of the year thing was
a whole different person.
It was a whole different person. It was Al Pacino.
Hey. And he wasn't going to do the clip package again because they had already done it. And that was on the producer's side, not on Mr. Pacino. And also the Oscar goes to not and the winner is.
Bingo.
And the only thing shitty about that show was the in memoriam, and they need to fucking figure that out. I will edit it, and I will say no.
Yeah.
No performers on stage. Just music.
No.
No.
No. No.
Right. I think that...
And make us be able to read everything and see it. Fucking dumb. Sorry, I'm still mad about it.
I mean, I can see, and David, you had this observation before the show, so I'm just stealing what you said. I could see confusing Jimmy Kimmel and Jimmy Fallon...
Just, I mean, I do that shit all the time because it's just their Jimmy's everywhere. But like,
yeah.
Jimmy Kimmel and Al Pacino is a long swim.
They don't even look alike in any way,
not
shape, or form.
Not even close.
No. And how many red hats do you think read this and went, yeah, that whole clusterfuck over picture of the year, that was hilarious. Jimmy Kimmel's an idiot.
No, red hats don't watch the Oscars. They were skinning rabbits or fucking their sisters or something that night.
Some yeah. do because they went, I saw that movie. I done saw that one. That was a good one. I don't like that one. That Barbie one, I don't like it.
When was the Oscars anyway? It had to have been a month ago or more.
Yeah, it was in March. Yeah, it was in early March.
Way to keep it timely, Buzzard McSourpuss. Jesus Christ. Anyway,
and ratings. It all comes down to ratings. I mean, I really, honestly, it's like he's gonna be like if he was alive 5 minutes after the apocalypse, it would be all about the ratings. You know, mm-hmm. he'd be checking the fucking ratings, and it's like, no, dude.
He's like a little child that needs the attention, and if the ratings are good and you get a bunch of likes, it's like children that are on social media now that if they don't get enough likes, they get depressed.
Yeah,
which is. Awful.
Yeah.
This is why I don't have shit on my phone, by the way. Don't care.
Yeah. This is
I couldn't care less. But this is the same thing. He's like a teenager that needs all the likes.
What's a great example of what Chris Sununu was saying on whatever it was, Fox News the other night, where he's talking about how, yeah, people see this as a reality show. It's so utterly cynical, but not entirely inaccurate. I think there are a significant number of Trump supporters who love him just because he's entertaining. I think they perceive this as being a hoot, as being something that's fun to watch when he goes off like this. Again, it's like the reality show villain being the most popular member of a reality show lineup. Like everyone
remembers.
The
only name anyone remembers from The Apprentice, the whole series, is Omarosa.
Yeah.
Because she was like the worst. I don't know. I actually watched that in real time for some reason. Actually, because I was reading a very funny recap blog.
Yeah.
The only reason I got interested in it because this person was writing about it so entertainingly that I had to go check out the source material.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, yeah, nobody remembers the winner from that season. He was some generic white dude, but everybody remembers Omarosa.
Yeah, everyone remembers Lisa Vanderpump, Richard Hatch, Puck. I mean, you want to go all the way back to
Puck,
the real world?
Yeah, we can go, yeah.
Puck was the most famous cast member on that, the first big time reality show, The Real World.
It was the second season, wasn't it?
Yeah,
because that was San Francisco. It wasn't New York.
Yeah. So after we're talking about
that one girl's joke, she's like, "What's the difference between Puck and the pool table? The pool table is still in the MTV house."
Jesus Christ. Well, that's just the thing. 30 years of reality television indoctrinating everyone into thinking, okay, well, the asshole is popular and entertaining. So naturally, Donald Trump, a reality show host, a reality show asshole, is popular and entertaining to a significant portion of the American voting population, not to mention people who don't vote at all. So that's, I think, why he continues to do that. He continues, well, it's partly because of his psychosis, partly because of the brain worms, partly because this is what his audience wants. His audience wants him to scream about people like Jimmy Kimmel or Joe Biden or Kamala Harris or Judge Mershon or whoever the enemy of the day happens to be. It's the entertainment value. It's the reality show. Chris Sununu, for all his fuckery, absolutely called it. And it's sad and cynical and awful.
He's such a sniveling whiner.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
the worst part of the whole thing to me. It would be another thing entirely if he was actually macho.
Yeah.
And like beating his chest and like tearing phone books in half with his bare hands.
Yeah.
But he's like a girdle wearing, shit on his face, pink eared, you know, high heeled, fucking moron in a polyester suit. It just.
You see, juror number two said that Donald Trump didn't appear as orange as she expected.
Yeah. No, that's a different juror.
Oh, that's a different juror?
Different juror.
Okay, different juror. Different juror said Donald Trump wasn't as orange as you expected and was more of a yellow hue.
Yellowish, yeah.
Yellowish.
Yeah, I have the audio for Stephanie tomorrow.
Like Donald Trump has cirrhosis or something.
He's a peep.
He's a marshmallow peep. You know what? That about defines his muscle tone. He's of marshmallow peep status. That's why he doesn't run anywhere. And so he just fell asleep. For the second time in 2 weeks, Arizona House Republicans have blocked an attempt to repeal the state's 160-year-old near total ban on abortion. And by the way, let's stop calling it a near total ban. It is a total ban on abortion.
It is.
No one is going to perform an abortion for any reason. I think the only reason, the only exception in Arizona now is health and life of the mother. Which I hate that
no,
as a
it's
term.
It's just life. It's not life. It's not health. It's just life.
Oh, well, so I'm corrected. But I don't think anyone's going to do abortions for that reason.
It just makes my brain bleed because it's like, for fuck's sake. I mean, this is like probably was contemporaneous with witchcraft laws.
Yeah.
You know? Exactly.
Like, I mean, what? Mm-hmm. 1860, what?
Yeah.
Arizona wasn't even a state.
No.
Nope.
No,
so it's like that, you know, Arizona, you can't be asked to do a daylight savings, but you'll turn your clocks back to 1864.
Right.
No problem.
And, you know, and like, by the way, they were on the Confederacy side during the Civil War.
Fuck you, Arizona.
Of course they were. Yeah, yeah. Well, here's the thing. The national Republicans, the people running for office right now, Donald Trump, Kerry Lake, etc., they're fucking with the heads of their voters on their position regarding all of this. Meantime, behind the scenes in the Arizona legislature, they're making sure this law stays on the books. As I said before the break, Sean Hannity was promising that this would get overturned soon, in 2 weeks, just like Donald Trump's health care plan in 2 weeks. It's not. It's not getting overturned. In fact, they continue to block the overturning of the legislation. And to make matters worse, they're cheering for it. Let's listen to the Arizona, I think this is the Arizona Senate, after the repeal was successfully blocked. Listen to that.
Way too many women.
Yeah. Yeah, the gallery was full. The balcony was full of people cheering for that. So please keep going, Republicans. You're doing great. This is going to be great for your campaign chances in November.
I hate them so much.
Well, I mean, me too. The thing is like Sean Hannity and Donald Trump are begging Democrats to pull them out of this shit, and Republicans keep stopping it.
Exactly.
So fuck you guys.
Mm-hmm.
You caught the fucking car, you fucking pieces of shit, you motherfuckers. Oh my god.
Well said. Spicy Jody.
I know you wore this shirt yesterday. Thank you.
Yeah.
I wore mine on Tuesday.
There was a caller on Fugelsang's show when I was on last night who was talking about Spicy Jody, and John was so confused. He had no idea. What is Spicy Jody? What are you talking about? I love hot sauce, but I don't understand what this is. So I had to explain to John. I was like, oh, yeah, the caller is saying that because Jody Hamilton's nickname is Spicy Jody on my podcast, and la, 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 one thing leads to another, T-shirts that say Spicy Jody hot sauce on them. That was a fun bit of explanation that I had to do after one of our listeners hijacked John's show.
Poor John.
Gotta love John Fugelsang. He is an utter goddamn genius.
He is, and I got to see him in New York when I was on my vacation, and it was lovely.
Oh, that's so great. I gotta get up to New York to see John
at some point.
Yeah.
He lives up in Harlem, and his townhouse is lovely, and his cats are adorable.
Yeah.
And I didn't meet the dog because apparently he's not that friendly with strangers. Mm-hmm. But, or she, I don't know. But I got to, John, I went to have brunch with him and his wife and a friend of theirs.
Yeah.
And I didn't have to pay for anything. And then we went back to the apartment and I got to meet the kitties and mm-hmm. see all the rooms where he Zooms from. And it was just a lovely morning.
Yeah.
And I only walked 105 blocks.
Only 105 blocks, huh?
It's not that far, actually. It's only like 6 miles round trip. Oh, okay. So it's not that far.
Well, it seems longer when you say 105 blocks. So.
I know, doesn't it? It's like, it was 55 blocks up, and I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to walk.
New York will trick you that way. It looks closer on the map than it is, and you walk.
Oh,
no.
55 blocks. I knew how long it was going to take me. Okay. I understood that when I got there. But it was a lovely walk right against the park on Central Park West. He lives not far from there. It was a beautiful walk uptown, and he's got a lovely place, and he's a lovely human, and I adore him. Okay, I'm done.
Same here. Same. Yeah, this guy Brian Hunt replied to John Fugelsang on Twitter and said, abortion is forbidden in the Ten Commandments. And then John Fugelsang quote tweeted that and said, no, it's not. Exactly what Jody just said. No, it's not. They're legal and free in Israel right now because Jesus' religion never bans them. Ask a rabbi. See? Don't go up against Fugelsang on religion, abortion, anything that's in the Bible.
No, yeah.
You are going to lose. You are going to lose, sir. Good day. Okay, so meantime.
My dad used to say, it would be like, you know, don't point your finger at him because you'll draw back a nub.
yeah, John, God, he's one of the smartest guys around for sure, and I'm so glad he's on our side.
His mom was a nun, and his father was a Franciscan Brothers.
That just sounds like I hear a lot. His mom was a nun.
Yeah,
she was.
Get it. And there must have been a tremendous amount of heartbreak involved for everybody because, I mean, when you make those... When you pledge to the holy order, it's a big deal, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
He jokes. He goes, my mom was a sister and my dad was a brother.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So basically he's from Alabama is what you're saying. Alabama.
Yeah.
I mean, she's basically Yvonne Trapp at this point because she was a friend too.
What are we talking about?
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to read this quote from Financial Times. Breaking news, the United States is now on track to grow at double the rate of any other G7 country this year, according to IMF forecasts. That is gigantic news, which obviously means that a bunch of dumb shits are going to vote for Donald Trump because they think the economy sucks and that Donald Trump will fix everything. No.
It's the remix.
Yeah, wrong.
Wrong.
Wrong. You idiots are wrong about the economy. The economy is booming right now. It's just a couple of things like housing are inflated at the moment.
This is the information siloing.
Yeah.
You know, like the Fox News fans will never, ever hear about this in terms, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you look at this internationally and across all the G7 nations, the United States is doing double the whatever nation is number two on the list. That is enormous. And people are like, not good enough. Let's go back to Donald Trump. He did great. I'm almost doing Alex Jones.
We're veering into Alex Jones territory. Yeah.
Which, by the way, I did it on stage the other night at that time we had our feelings. Yes, there was a request for it, and I started doing it. I did it kind of a half-assed version of Alex Jones, because I didn't want to
I would have been like, can you read a recipe from the book in the voice of Alex Jones?
Oh, shit. For a second, I thought, yeah, maybe I should do that right now. But the book is in the other room, so I can't grab it.
Anyway, 2 cups of sugar.
Kimberly!
Here's how you make fried pizza. First of all, you make the friggin' frogs gay.
Should I text Kimberly to bring it in?
No, that's all right. Maybe for the shadow docket. Maybe I'll run over and get it for the shadow. Maybe I'll do an Alex Jones recipe on the shadow docket from that time we ate our feelings. Okay.
Should I text like
every
her
time
it's
an idea, I've got to be the one that takes it a step further.
Yeah. I'll run into the other room and grab it between shows. Okay. So, dumb stupids. The economy's doing great. Don't change horses to the fascist horse, please. Thank you. Okay. Yeah. Joe Biden's doing a great job on messaging, too, by the way. He's starting to draw a contrast between what he refers to as Scranton values versus Mar-a-Lago values. That is perfect. Because, good Lord, do you see what goes on at Mar-a-Lago? Do you see the people there? Do you hear the videos of Donald Trump going, oh, you people are so rich. I love all of you people because all of the money that you have. That's going on all the time, completely out of touch with the, you know, working man. Here's Joe Biden talking about Scranton versus Mar-a-Lago.
I learned that no one's looking for a handout. All anybody wants is a fair shot at making, and they deserve a fair shot. My dad had a saying. He said, Joey, a job's about a lot more than a paycheck. It's about your dignity. It's about respect. It's about being able to look your kid in the eye and say, honey, it's going to be okay and mean it. You know, people like Donald Trump learned very different lessons. He learned the best way to get rich is inherited. Not a bad way. He learned that paying taxes was something people who work for a living did, not him. You learn that telling people you're fired was something to laugh about. I guess that's how you look at the world when you're in Park Avenue or Mar-a-Lago. But if you grew up in a place like Scranton, nobody handed you anything. You paid your taxes. You made sure being told you're fired wasn't entertainment. It was a nightmare that people worried about. And all people knew, all I knew about the people like Trump who looked down on us were the people that haven't changed. They wouldn't welcome us in their homes and their clubs. Folks, where we come from matters. When I look at the economy, I don't see it through the eyes of Mar-a-Lago. I see it through the eyes of Scranton, and that's not hyperbole. That's a fact. Where honesty and decency matter. Where faith matters. Where family is everything. Where we grew up knowing in our homes that Wall Street didn't build this country. The middle class built this country, mm-hmm. and unions built the middle class.
Yeah. That's some great messaging right there. I think that's extraordinarily effective.
That's, you know, preaching right from my, you know, hymnal about unions and just.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it just says the parade of ghastlies through Mar-a-Lago. The pictures, it's like this weird underground gilded grotto.
Yeah, it is.
You know, it smells like mildew and Ozempic.
Oh, yeah. It looks like the inside of Mar-a-Lago looks like Trump Tower sharded inside there.
Yeah.
It just looks like a gaudy, gold, awful mess. And by the way, I like that Joe Biden's bringing up you're fired again. Given
yes.
the fact, I wish they would couple you're fired with the fact that Donald Trump had the worst jobs record in the history of the American presidency.
Yep.
Lost a net 3 million jobs. I mean, a total of 9 million jobs were lost. But if you count the jobs that were created, it creates a net loss of 3 million jobs. That is extraordinary. And meantime,
getting fired is awful.
What's that? Oh,
I have a friend who got fired last week.
I got fired.
And it's
before.
A fucking
it
trauma.
Yeah.
Like you get every time you have to go anywhere near the building where it happened, you get like sick to your stomach and anxiety and you know, like
oh yeah.
I just oh God, you know, and it's just like, oh, it's a joke to him, you know, because he's never actually had to have a job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
when he did have the job as president, we did fire his ass.
I got let go from Salon and from Salon.com. Because they no longer needed criticism of Donald Trump on their platform. This was after the...
God.
This was in 2021.
Are they still there? Is it like... I mean, does it not just redirect to a 404 page at this point?
The answer is yes, that is true. No, I'm kidding. They still got some good writers. I think Brian Karam is over there. Amanda Marcotte is still over there. But it wasn't like that was the only thing I was writing about, by the way. I wrote about a whole variety of other issues outside of Donald Trump. They just kind of pegged me as being the, oh, but he's the guy who hates Donald Trump. And so they didn't need any more of that.
Whatever.
Donald Trump was out of office. And here we are again. How about that? How'd that work out? So, by the way, speaking of Donald Trump, here's a bit of a zinger from Joe Biden about Donald Trump's stock and Truth Central.
Truth Central.
Here's the president.
You know, I have to say, if Trump's stock in the Truth Social, his company, drops any lower, he might do better under my tax plan than his. Possibly.
The other thing with Joe Biden's voice, when he's projecting, he sounds great. When he's quiet, that's when he starts to sound a little older. But I kind of like it when he's yelling. I kind of like it when he's doing oratory.
He needs like a middle between the two.
Yeah, I would say so. Oh, you know what? Let's take a short break and then come back and talk about how alleged billionaire Donald Trump is raiding the campaign funds of down ballot races. He's doing great, isn't he?
He's like, I mean, every bit the playground bully. He's like stealing other kids' lunch money now.
Yeah, right. Okay, Short break. Back with more podcasts right after these words.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hi, it's Randy Rhodes, and here's what you missed.
You're rich as hell. We're going to give you a tax cut.
Yeah, you're rich as hell, and we're going to lower your taxes. You wonder why these psycho billionaires give money to the Republican Party in general when the Republican Party is always looking to take away people's freedom. They don't care about the culture war that Joe Blow in Kentucky wants to have. They don't care about the culture war that Arizona Supreme Court wants to engage in. They don't care about what Ron DeSantis thinks could out-cruel somebody else in another state. They care about tax cuts. That's all they care about, never, ever paying taxes. This is also why they are pro-destroying Social Security and pro-destroying Medicare and anti-Medicaid expansion. They would like for you to die and die quickly and die poor. Don't have time to listen to the live show? Want to hear more on your schedule? Go to RandyRhodes.com and buy a stinking podcast.
Bob Seska plays more music. Rolled her eyes at the room, wouldn't last, she assumed. Screw the room, screw the room.
Yeah, brand new to the show. This is a recording artist named Daffo, D-A-F-F-O. And a single called Poor Madeline. Wow, is this great. Just signed with Concord Records, I believe it is. It's an independent label. Go to BobSeska.com, find this episode dated 4/18/24. Click that link, scroll down, and you'll find links to support Daffo and all the independent recording artists on today's show. Also including Powder Pink and Sweet. Yeah, so good. Now, sometimes I just want to sit here and listen to the rest of the song, but we have to get back into important things, right? One of those things is Donald Trump announced that anyone who wants to use his name or face in a fundraising email or letter or mailer or whatever you call it, they have to pay him 5% of all the money that is raised. It's bad enough that Donald Trump's legal defense is hoovering up all of the donations, especially to the Republican Party, where that money can't go to down ballot races. Right. It's bad enough that that is a factor in all this. Now, Donald Trump, whatever they do raise, Donald Trump wants to get his stumpy little fingers on it, at least 5% of it. Because, you know, he's a billionaire, right? He's doing so well. He's got the greatest campaign. He doesn't even need your votes. That's how well the campaign is going. He said on a bunch of occasions, I don't need your votes. We got all the votes we need, all of the votes. But he's raiding the campaign coffers of down ballot races. This is great news, especially when it comes to the House of Representatives and maybe even the United States Senate. Fingers crossed. Okay, meantime, Stephen Miller, speaking of someone who fits conveniently in Donald Trump's butthole, Stephen Miller said Trump is the most stylish president ever.
Oh my God.
Yes. Let's listen to Stephen Miller.
No, I'm gonna jab this pencil into each of my eardrums and lecture them before I can't.
Listen to this guy.
Also to say, since we're addressing the subject of style.
I mean, he's so angry now. Oh my God.
Very angry, little tadpole.
We're addressing the subject of style now. He's so manly, I gotta tell you.
Turning now to the style page of the paper, God damn it. He's so angry about Donald Trump's sense of style.
Outraged.
Yeah, outraged.
Also to say, since we're addressing the subject of style.
Style.
The most stylish president and first lady.
You hear him like gulp there for a second. The most stylish first lady and president.
We saw her hoo-ha and her hooters, so.
Also to say, since we're addressing the subject of style, the most stylish president and first lady in our lifetimes are Donald Trump and Melania Trump.
Did you hear that? Did you hear
he even
the most
gagged a little bit before he could even say it, you know?
He did. He knew he was lying.
President. Swallow it, Stephen. You're so good at it now.
Yeah,
let's hold your nose and swallow whatever they give you.
Forgive me, I have to play it again.
Also to say, since we're addressing the subject of style, the most stylish president and first lady in our lifetimes are Donald Trump and Melania Trump. Donald Trump's a style icon.
Icon.
Stop.
Do you hear that?
Stop. Oh, God. What? Just break my fingers instead. For fuck's sake.
He changed American fashion in The Apprentice.
What?
People spent the next 10 years trying to dress like Donald Trump.
Yes. What? You know what? People also dress like clowns. That doesn't mean clowns are stylish.
With a tie that's practically to his fucking knees.
Yeah.
And it doesn't fit right. And it's,
Just style. He like stands like a Confederate war horse.
Yes.
Fucking lifts are so high. He's got like multiple layers of Spanx on, you know, and I just can't.
Once again, Donald Trump and obviously Stephen Miller, his personal worm tongue, believes that Donald Trump invented the blue suit and red tie combo. No, he didn't.
Like, I don't know how he does to clothes what he does to them. How he manages, like, to make things look so awkward and misshapen.
Yes.
I mean, clearly his tailor is just as, as much of a specimen as his doctor was.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that signed that the healthiest president ever in history of the mankind since before God, amen, doctor guy.
Yeah.
Like, is clearly a, I mean.
Bornstein.
I mean, I remember that, you know, the famous picture with the makeup all over his collar when he's coming back from the chopper, like walking across.
Looking bedraggled. That was after the rally that killed, Herman Cain.
Right. But I'm like, that white dress shirt probably costs more than I make in a month.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But like, it still manages to look as cheap and I just, I don't know how he does that.
This is one of the things that Chez used to go off about this all the time. Donald Trump's ridiculous looking suits. Like the fact that his suits are designed to cover up as much of Donald Trump's actual form as possible. Those giant shoulder pads he wears, they just hang off of the sides of his shoulders because he's got the little tiny narrow shoulders. And he's got to compensate that with giant shoulder pads where you can still see sort of the ball of his shoulder poking up through the top edge of his suit. Between that and the weird shaped pants with the weird creases and bulges and the too long tie and the ridiculous hair and the makeup, that's not stylish. That's a clown suit. That is a clown suit that Donald Trump feels compelled that he has to wear because it is his brand and all that he has left is the Trump brand.
Can you imagine having to look at yourself in the mirror in the morning and be like, I called him a style icon yesterday.
Yeah.
My soul is entirely dead within my body.
I can't believe someone agreed to marry this troll, Stephen Miller. Let's listen to the rest. There's 8 more seconds of this. Let's see, please. Yeah, oh, 8 God. More seconds to torture David. Here we go.
He's trying to dress like Donald Trump. So if anybody deserves a puff piece on their sense of style, it's Donald Trump and the First Lady.
Sense of style. Okay, you know what? Look, I'll give it to Melania.
She's pretty, and she knows how to dress.
Yeah, yeah. But Donald Trump,
but it's always bland.
Me?
Melania, it's like someone figured out a way to Botox their entire fucking body. Like, I mean, she always looks half dead to me, just completely in a over-medicated haze.
She is half dead. She wandering around in
lots of beige.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, no, she's not stylish. She always looks like she's about to burn a village to the ground because a child got mud on the hem of her dress.
Right.
You know, like.
Trump has 3 looks that he goes with. The usual standard look with his suit and the hair and the pancake makeup on his face. And then there's the variation of that where he doesn't wear the tie and wears a red MAGA hat, which, by the way, when he wears that red hat and takes off his tie, it looks like the red hat is squishing his head down into his torso. It's the strangest thing. It's like the red hat weighs 1,000 pounds and his little neck can't raise his head up high enough. It's really weird looking. And then the other outfit that he wears is his golf outfit with the white
Sunday
shirt,
retiree outfit.
The black pants, and then the hat. And so that's the only 3 things that we ever see Donald Trump wearing ever. But he's the most stylish whatever. Okay, let's play a round of who tweeted this. I'm going to read this particular.
I can't wrap my head around.
You can't get past it.
The style icon thing. I mean, it's just like, like Coco Chanel, Christian Dior, Pierre
Anna
Balmain.
Anna Wintour.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Donald fucking Trump.
Bill Blass.
Clarabelle the clown. Yeah.
Like, hamburger grease on his lapel. Like, just scotch tape holding his tie together instead of a proper tie pin,
Okay, I'm going to read this tweet, and you guys have to tell me which news organization published this tweet. Mm-hmm. Okay, here's the tweet. Marjorie Taylor Greene is an idiot. She's trying to wreck the GOP. Who said it? Who tweeted this? Anyone? David?
I mean, pretty much anyone in the lower 48, probably.
That's possible. But the idea is that it's surprising.
The guy with the eye patch.
New York Times.
No.
New York Times.
No, that's also incorrect, Jody. So one for Jody and one for David. No, the answer to the quiz is Fox News. @FoxNews on Twitter tweeted, opinion, Marjorie Taylor Greene is an idiot. She's trying to wreck the GOP. And it links to an op-ed of the same title. Yeah.
Who wrote it?
It's just a screen grab.
I have it.
Yeah, Jody will look it up as I move on to...
This is the thing about Marjorie, is that she's mean as fuck. I mean, she's mean and nasty and angry.
She is.
I mean, she just, I don't know, who perennially peed in her Wheaties.
Yeah.
But, she has been demanding to see the manager pretty much, I think, since birth.
The doctor
slapped her ass, and she was like, I need to speak to the hospital manager right now.
She's got the Dunning-Kruger idiot strength, right?
Yeah.
She's one of these people who's just a raging moron who thinks she's the smartest, most savvy person in the world.
Oh, it hurts.
It's incredible, the disconnect.
It's so true. But, I mean, she's got, like, more money than God, apparently. Like I said, she made, like, hundreds of millions of dollars off of her husband's real estate, her first business, or first husband's business.
Jody's going to come back with the author of that Fox News op-ed, and it's going to be, like, Jessica
Liz
Tarlov.
Peek. No, it's Liz Peek.
Liz Peek, who I don't know.
Weirdly familiar, but...
Unfamiliar with Liz Peek.
P-E-E-K. Okay.
I thought you were going to say Jessica Tarlov, and I'd have to retract the entire bit.
No, no, no. She just had a baby, so she's not doing that right now.
And by the way, you know what? I got to hand it to Fox News. They don't need to have Jessica Tarlov on the payroll. And when she's not there, they bring in Harold Ford Jr.
Right.
Who's way... I mean, David, you probably remember Harold Ford Jr. from back in Blogosphere 1.0.
There was
5 minutes when he was a good guy and then transformed into a both sides bullshitter. But one last thing here before we wrap up. This was a funny little moment on Twitter the other day featuring Eric, son of Eric. Eric, or sometimes who I refer to as Eric. Eric Erickson. You all know Eric Erickson. He tweeted this in response to Jeffrey Toobin. He said, "There was no insurrection. That is a left/media talking point. It was a riot, yes. It was not an insurrection. Those who believe this don't actually care about the truth, though."
Oh, God.
And then readers added context. On January 21st, Eric Erickson himself said multiple times in an editorial that it was an insurrection. Quote, "The insurrectionists, having constructed the gallows and hung a noose, entered the Capitol calling for Vice President Mike Pence to show himself." And that...
Let's not forget, in that video when they came storming into the Senate chamber, they were like, "Well, I guess we're going to set up a government now."
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, oh, yeah, that's right within your core competency skill set.
Right.
There, Gomer.
This is what an insurrection is all about. What they tried to do is they tried to stop the counting of the electoral votes. They tried to seize and occupy Congress. And it was only because of their lack of preparedness and the fact that they're a bunch of rank goddamn amateurs. I know I'm evaluating the insurrection skills of the insurrectionists. You guys are incompetent. And so let me show you how it's done, you know? But that's what they wanted to do. They wanted to overthrow Congress. And they almost did it. They almost succeeded. They just got bored and they didn't have any snacks. So maybe that was it. Someone, hey, who brought the snacks? No one? Oh, God damn it.
I was told there would be pie and punch.
I was told there'd be goldfish, cupcakes,
Rice Krispie treats,
Trump steaks.
Do you remember when they took over that bird sanctuary in Oregon? The oh God, what's that family's name?
Oh, the Bundys.
Oh, the Bundys. Yeah.
Oh, they were going to say
they literally gave it up because they didn't have anything to eat.
For a second there, I thought you were talking about the roll-offs from Little People, Big World. Which is one of our guilty pleasures here.
No.
Kimberly and I love watching that show.
I have no idea what that is.
The roll-offs. Okay, the roll-offs is...
No, don't. I don't really.
Okay. La.
Neither one of us really wants to know, okay. Bob. Sorry.
I'm going
to
save that brain space for pound cake recipes, dude.
The roll-offs are our family of dwarfs that have a pumpkin farm in Oregon. There you go. There's the explanation in 5 seconds. And they have a reality show that's been on for 25 seasons now. That's absolutely true. And it's
now, what do they call seasons? Are they yearly, or they do one in the fall and one in the spring?
They've done in the early days, they would do like two seasons a year. But I mean, I've been watching that show since 2006, 2007, somewhere around there. And Kimberly and I have watched it through at least twice, all 25 seasons. We're crazy.
I had a friend that worked on that.
Little People, Big World, really?
I believe she did.
Did I say Little People Bug World? I think I just said Little People Bug World. But if you haven't figured it out, they're little people. And they have a pumpkin farm in Oregon.
I got that much. Okay.
Yeah, so that's who I thought you were talking about, David. All right, you know what?
Have a nice weekend, folks. Coming up next, we clarified that.
Coming up next is the Shadow Docket on our Patreon page. Patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. Sign up for $5 a month. And you can keep listening to all of this quality podcasting. Hey, what you're missing? You're missing a lot. I'm going to read a menu. I'm going to read a recipe from that time we ate our feelings in my Alex Jones voice. because we've decided somehow that that's entertaining. So that's coming up next. I've got a bunch of good news for Democrats and even more good news for Democrats. That's all coming up. Patreon.com/Bob Seska Show. See you over there, folks. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.